Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Oh, is it me?
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to Gays on Film. This podcast is where we, a pair of gays, talk about what we're watching. I'm Declan.
And I'm Ned.
And in this episode, we'll be discussing the second season of Extraordinary. Extraordinary? Extraordinary.
However you say it.
Right. Remember, there will be spoilers once we get to the headline feature, so as always, do proceed with caution. But before all that, I'm dying to know what you've been watching recently, King. And I'm very aware that there's quite a lot on this, so we might have to skip through it.
Okay, yeah. Imaginary. New horror film about imaginary friends.
Wasn't very good.
Wasn't very good. And wasn't bad enough to be properly bad either. It was just kind of...
It was like, I feel like the premise was fine.
Yeah.
But it just, the delivery of it.
It was lacking in some aspects. I didn't have a bad time watching it, but I'm not going to be like ringing around insisting everybody watches it. You know what I mean? But on quite the contrary...
I'm just trying to see what I give it. Sorry, before two star.
Yeah, I think I was about two as well.
Yeah, yeah.
On quite the contrary, though, watched Kung Fu Panda 3, completing our franchise rewatch before the fourth one comes out. Is that this weekend?
It is, yeah.
This weekend.
Yeah.
And honestly, Kung Fu Panda 3, I think it might be the best of the three.
It was my favourite for sure.
Followed very closely by... One.
Yeah, it's 3-1-2 for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. So we'll see what 4 has to offer.
I've heard that 4 goes a bit like lower stakes, because the third one was quite high stakes.
Yeah. I
mean, Kung Fu Panda film.
Could have been the end of Chi.
And we wouldn't want that.
Wouldn't want that.
No, but I enjoyed it.
I did as well. Yeah, I thought it was really entertaining.
And I think, I do think I've only ever seen before this rewatch, it wasn't technically a rewatch. So I do think I've only ever seen the first one.
I didn't even know there were those sequels.
Well, neither of you then.
No.
Yeah.
Also, if you're a fan of sports films.
Which I am when they're good.
Yeah, thoroughly recommend Naiad. I thought it was fantastic. It was really, really good. Very compelling. Really nice to see some... lesbian swimmer action and overall an excellent film. I think Jodie Foster deserved the nom.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think they were both nominated.
Were they?
One was in leading, one was in supporting.
Well, Jodie Foster was supporting.
But I do think, I remember hearing a bit of news about, like, you know, out with all the performances last year, was that a bit random? And I do think it was I think there were strong performances, but I do think there were probably others that I would have thought were a bit more Oscar-worthy last year.
Like what?
I don't know, but not that.
Oh, well, fair enough.
They weren't nominated in any other awards, I don't think. It was just the Oscars, so it was a bit weird. But
To be a very good film. I found their characterisations to be very convincing. And yeah, I was really into it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And what else? Oh, we finished Mary and George.
We did.
Yes.
I would rate that 3.5 star.
I'd go three and a half, I think.
So I do think a couple of episodes towards the end kind of lost its punch a bit.
Yeah.
I think it probably could have been 6 episodes and would have been...
Yeah, I think It started really strong and I think just maybe struggled to keep the momentum up towards the end. But I was interested to come back and see how it went. Like, I don't, you know, it wasn't one of them where I was like, oh, finishing this is going to be a chore. I did like it. Although I don't think I really liked George's character by the end. I just thought, oh.
I didn't really like any of them.
I was more interested in some of the others.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I did enjoy it. And it was fun and gay and a little bit camp. And I quite liked...
And it ticked your box of wanting a queer medieval period.
Yeah,
period
exactly.
Story, didn't it?
It did. Yeah. And I liked Julianne Moore's performance on the whole.
Yeah, she was good.
Yeah. How about you? What have you watched?
Well, we watched Immaculate together at the cinema, the new Sydney Sweeney film. The
we
religious
did. What did you think?
Horror, thriller-ish. Mm. I enjoyed it, yeah. I don't think it was like, you know, I don't think it was one of the best films I've ever seen, but I give it 4 stars, and I think her performance really anchored it very well. And
I will say about it, I think it's one of the better, like, Catholic horror genre films that
yeah,
I've seen
like
in a long time.
It was
good. It wasn't tired like a lot of them.
No, and it wasn't like, you know, like some of them are like, they almost feel satirical that it's that much of a piss take.
Yeah, it's almost like we're doing the Catholic horror subgenre formula to make a film.
But
this one did
very
not
like,
take that angle.
It was very unnerving.
Yeah.
And it didn't have... It just had, like, moments that made you feel...
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, the full film. It
yeah.
was like, oh, that's a bit sick. Oh, that's a bit sick. And, yeah, but it was really good. I would seek it out, because I'm sure it's still on cinemas as of when this episode goes out. And
yeah,
it'll
sure.
probably be on streaming quite soon.
For sure.
I'm watching... Binge watching, which I can always tell is a good sign for me. Three Body Problem on Netflix. I've got 1.5 episodes left.
I didn't know it was sci-fi.
Oh, it's quite... we'll describe it as hard sci-fi. It's quite hard, and you don't know what's going on for a few episodes.
Right.
But once you do, the premise is quite simple, actually. But it's very... It's not the most well-written show, but it's very addictive.
Oh, maybe I will watch it.
It is like you really want to see what's coming next.
How many episodes is it?
8.
Okay.
So I think I'll finish them tonight in bed while you're probably asleep for 2 hours before me.
Treat yourself.
But yeah, it's a bit forced at times and it's a bit twee, but once you kind of go with it, I really, really enjoyed it. And the performances are all really good. And I'm actually quite happy to see Benioff and Weiss work again after Game of Thrones. This is their next big adaptation of a book. And I do think they get a bad rap for the final couple of seasons of Game of Thrones. But I think it was maybe more to do more than just them two. I think there was some studio interference and...
Oh, right.
Wanted to just get it done or, you know, whatever. But they have taken quite a hard source material to adapt and done quite a good job.
Cool.
And I hope that enough people are watching it that it's not one of these annoying things
Is
that
it
Netflix
a book?
Does. Yeah.
Oh, maybe I'll read it then.
It's a trilogy and they're hoping to do enough seasons to adapt the trilogy. But
nice.
We know what Netflix is like with its cancelling acts. So
we'll see.
Yeah, we've like this weekend we watched loads of films at home, and I'm spotting a pattern. We kind of watched plane-based films.
I noticed that,
but
I wasn't loving it.
Not on purpose.
No.
So we finally watched J. Bayona's Society of the Snow.
Yeah.
Which was very good. I gave it 3.5. I don't think it was like amazing.
Oh, I found it really moving.
So did I. Just wasn't quite...
I think if it had caught me on the right day, I would have cried.
Well, I didn't cry. And I cry at the drop of a hat at films.
Do you?
I cry at the drop of a hat all the time.
Oh.
I cry more at films than you do.
Do you?
100%.
Sure.
And I definitely cry more than you.
You do.
Yeah. So we watched that. So that was like highbrow. And then the next day, I'd seen this trailer on Twitter ages ago for this film called No Way Up, which is the most B-movie of B-movies. It's about a plane that crashes and it falls to the bottom of the ocean, and that some of the surviving passengers are stuck in an air pocket.
Hmm.
And then a tiger shark is involved.
A shark attack?
A tiger shark is
involved. Oh, I thought you said attack a shark.
No, a tiger.
A tiger shark.
Yeah. Is involved, and it was fantastic. Like, not like, you know, I gave it 2 stars still.
It was B-movie fantastic.
Yeah, it was just what I expected. We had friends over, so I didn't want a film where I had to give it my undivided attention, and it ticked that box. And we also have this nifty, well, we've done it before, but we did it quite a bit this past weekend, where I put all of my watch list on a random name generator and see what it spits out.
Yeah.
So we ended up watching Kingdom of Heaven, which is one of Ridley Scott's historical epics.
I really want to see, having seen it, I really want to see the director's cut, because I think it'd be way better.
Knowing that it has a director's cut, yeah. I think you could spot where they'd cut things out.
I think so too. Yeah. And it was, because I knew it had a director's cut, I think it was like slightly irritating me watching it, like thinking, oh, I know Ridley Scott would have made that scene longer if it wasn't cut.
I think it was in the time where studios were quite funny about run times.
Yeah.
Whereas now they're a bit more, you know, Oppenheimer was 3 hours.
Yeah.
What was the other Ridley Scott one that was quite long recently?
The,
well, House of Gucci was long.
Did he do Napoleon?
Yeah, Napoleon. That was long. I mean,
who did could have done with being The Last Duel,
in my opinion. That was him as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was good, but I would probably like to see the director's cut as well.
Yeah.
But I do like a historical epic.
Me too.
I gave it 3 stars, this version of it anyway.
I can't remember what I
So yeah, we've been quite, you know, watching quite a bit of stuff. And we haven't recorded for a while either, so got plenty to catch up on.
Lots on, haven't we?
Yeah, we do. That's it then.
It is. So tell us what's been going on in the news.
Well, I've picked a serious one and a not so serious one.
Right.
So not serious, but like proper news. So Timothée Chalamet has obviously made Warner Brothers quite a bit of money in the last few months, with him starring in both Wonka and Dune Part 2.
Yeah.
So he has signed a multi-year first look feature deal with them. So anything that gets developed with him in, or him developed as a producer,
Warner gets
first dibs on whatever he develops. So right. He does have a film that he's filming at the minute, but I don't think that is Warner Brothers. He's playing Bob Dylan in a Bob Dylan biopic.
You'll love that then.
I don't know. If they do something different, I might, but yeah. So there's that, and I think he very much deserves it, and I think he is probably, you know, Hollywood A-lister right now, you know, they say that.
Yeah.
But all that cast in Dune Part 2, I think, are quite like the next generation.
Yeah.
Zendaya, Austin Butler, Florence Pugh. All that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I thought that was good. And then I just thought this was quite funny. I think they're taking the piss out of us now. But you know Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey?
Yeah.
So, obviously, that's infamously got 3% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And I can't wait to watch it. I can't believe it's taken
this long. The second one the other day,
yeah,
before more reviews came on board, had 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. And now it's only dropped to 60-something.
The second Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey?
Yeah, it's out this weekend.
I didn't know they were doing a sequel.
They're doing a third as well. But a further twist in the tale.
Right.
They've announced that Twisted Childhood Universe. So obviously all these
characters... Oh, I thought they were calling it the Pooniverse.
Well, they have put the Pooniverse on the bottom of it.
Oh, right.
Of the poster.
Yeah.
And they've even almost like riffed off the Avengers font with it. It says Pooniverse Monsters Assemble 2025. So I don't know if that might be an actual film, Pooniverse, where they all come together.
Don't know, but that'd be so funny.
Have the Twisted Childhood Universe at the top.
Oh, okay.
So they've announced, so they've got Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 1 and 2. There's a sequel, a third one to that coming. You've got Bambi the Reckoning, Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare, and Pinocchio Unstrung, which I thought is my favourite title.
Yeah, I think that's a good title.
What the hell? Obviously, all these characters are falling out of IP law.
Yeah.
So anyone can use them.
Yeah.
And I think, doesn't Mickey Mouse, sorry, or they have. And I think somebody's developing a Mickey Mouse horror film as well.
I thought Mickey Mouse was exempt from this copyright IP law.
Well, what Disney tend to do is they end up changing the character slightly.
Yeah.
And then putting another IP on it. So that's so when you tend to see like a really shitty Mickey and Minnie costume, it's like...
It's old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought that was quite fun. And I would quite like to watch the first one. But I just have this feeling it'll be like so gory, but not even in like an artistic... Everything will be just so gratuitous and minging and yeah, just not very nice. But we'll see.
Do you want to watch it tonight?
No.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's
that. The news. Well, what a time we've had. And now it's time to cast our minds into the future and get excited for what's coming up in the world of film and TV. It's time now for Trailer Trash or Treasure. What do we have this time?
So we have the latest Star Wars Disney Plus show, The Acolyte, which is something I've been quite excited for because it's set in a completely different time to what we see in more recent Star Wars shows and TV. Everything's been kind of around either within the Skywalker saga or kind of around it or similar timelines or within or set between the period between two of the trilogies, let's say. So this goes, I think, about 100 years before The Phantom Menace, where it's the High Republic and there's lots of Jedis about. So, yeah.
Cracking.
The link for the trailer will be in the show notes if you want to pause and watch along with us. And we'll be back right after the sparkles.
Well, gosh golly.
Yeah. It sees a Jedi Master investigating a series of crimes that bring him into conflict with a former Padawan learner.
Right.
Got a stacked cast.
Has it?
Amanda Stenberg, Lee Jong-jae from Squid Game is the Jedi Master.
Yeah.
Daphne Keane, Jodie Turner-Smith, and what I think is quite cool is The Matrix's very own Carrie-Anne Moss as a Jedi Master. But what I like in it is that there's lots of lightsabers. And it reminds me of that scene in Attack of the Clones where all the Jedi land in that ring to save Obi-Wan, Padme and Anakin. And there's like loads and loads of Jedi. Do you remember?
No.
There's like three creatures that they have to fight and then a load of other stuff. And there's like loads of lightsabers.
Right.
But I think it looks quite promising. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's like the best trailer in the world. I didn't know. I've been excited about what this is for a while. I don't know if it quite reflected what I thought it was going to be. It looks like it skews quite young. But then I guess Star Wars does.
I don't know. Star Wars isn't really my flavour of sci-fi, if I'm honest. I quite like the original trilogy. And I like most of the films. But that's kind of where it stops. I struggle to follow everything beyond those.
This might be quite... If it is good, though, this might be one to watch because obviously it won't be connected to anything.
Yeah.
Whereas everything else, like Mandalorian... we liked Andor. But Andor
it's not
was,
that,
like,
yeah.
blown up, wasn't it?
It's like... not that I don't like it, but, like, I'm not too, like, hot on all of the timeline. I get a bit lost in who the characters are. And I think there's a lot of, like... There's a lot of Star Wars lore that you kind of probably need to know to properly enjoy Star Wars. And it just goes over my head a lot of the time. But I can enjoy
value, this trailer.
Individual like features of the Star Wars universe. And this trailer looks fine if you like Jedi and lightsabers.
Well, I would say this trailer for me is only just a treasure.
Yeah, same.
But June this year... Stacked for telly and all shows that I watch, and I don't think you watch any of them.
What are you going to do?
We've got The Acolyte season 1. We've got The Bear season 3. The Boys season 4 and House of the Dragon season 2 all airing at the same time at some point in June.
Hey, you'll barely be able to come up for air.
I know, can't wait. Mm. And all good as well. Mm. Well, we know that some of them will be. This one's not yet proven. But we know The Bear, The Boys and House of the Dragon are going to be good.
So. How do you know they're going to be good?
Well, just because the previous series was good. It's the same creative people.
All right.
The Bear can do no wrong in my eyes out of all of them.
Okay.
So,
great. Yeah,
Justin to Treasure for me.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. So, now for this week's headline feature, Extraordinary Season 2, coming up after this quick break.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Extraordinary Season 2.
Now, have you ever done a synopsis of a TV show?
Yeah, I have.
Have you done one for this?
Yeah.
All right, then, let's hear it.
Yeah, I reviewed my previous TV show synopses and tried not to go a bit too hard because...
Did you explain a mini synopsis for each episode?
No, I think what I did with...
What did we do?
Maybe Sex Education.
Yeah.
Or Heartstopper.
Yeah.
I kind of tried to do a little sentence about each character, but there's so many of them.
Of the beginning of a show, of a new show, should be almost like the setup from the previous season. So let's see what you've done.
Oh, this is near enough, that.
Right.
In an effort to get her power, finally, Jen finds the funds for expensive therapy to help. Jizzlord finds out he left...
It's so weird that there's a character called Jizzlord.
He finds out he left his wife and child when he first became a cat and forgot about them. Carrie and Cash work out how to live together without being together. All the while being silly friends doing silly things.
Yeah.
Oh my god, and also, writing that, this is my first like comment on the show. Cash and Carrie, as a couple, are called Cash and Carrie.
This whole show is so silly. But I feel like, taking the superhero element out of it, I imagine this is exactly how people of this age live in London.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of them are stuck in shit jobs, trying to find the way.
Yeah.
They all look a bit scruffy.
Making enough money to scrape by because London is extortion.
Yeah. And I just think it perfectly... The writers really... Again, it feels weird with that superhero element in it, but like some of the powers aren't even really...
I think that's the fun thing about it for me. The powers kind of remove it far enough from reality that you can like watch it as escape, as like a form of escape. But it is so like real and relatable that, you know, it's not inaccessible for people.
I do think this season started a bit slow, though. First two or three, I was like, oh, I'm struggling a little bit here. And I think a lot of that, I'd forgot what had happened to Jizzlord. And I was like, sure, she's dating him now. It took me a while to get my head around.
Yeah, I think I probably could have done with a shorter break between season one and season two. But when I got into it, it was fine. The one episode that I thought I was a bit like, was the... exorcism of Carrie Jackson.
I quite enjoyed that, but it felt like an episode. It felt almost like an episode of an episodic
show. That's exactly like how I felt.
One out, yeah. The story's done. Yeah.
I was like, this doesn't feel like it's really progressing much. I hope the whole season isn't just single episodes. But then they started to tie together quite nicely. And overall, I think that one kind of stood out almost like a sore thumb, but not too sore.
But I think it helped develop Carrie's character.
Yeah.
And her power a bit more.
I love Carrie, and her power is so funny because she's so, like, she's meek, she's quiet, she's polite, and her power is communing with the dead, and she is so casual about it. It's so funny.
But yeah, when I say it, I think it started slow.
Mm.
As it went on, the last few episodes I ended up binging, which again is a good sign, because I was like, oh no, I need to see what happens next. And then the final shot made me like, oh, I want the new season now.
Yeah.
But no, I like them all. You know, I'm not actually a big fan of Jen as a character.
No, I feel like if I knew her in real life,
she'd annoy you.
I'd probably only be able to take her in small doses.
Yeah, she's a bit much, and I don't know why. Like, I know she's the only one who doesn't have a power, which would be quite annoying when you surround her. But I just find her...
I find her a bit self-centred.
I do.
And I think she's written that way. Yeah. So it's, like, on purpose. But yes, I don't think I want to be friends with Jen, but I wouldn't mind being friends with Carrie. Probably Cash as well. He's funny.
Cash is funny, yeah. Him exploring his sexuality and seeing into the future what was going to happen.
Oh my God.
Avoiding everything, trying to avoid everything for it not to happen.
Yeah. That was so funny though, when he went round to Carrie's crush's house for a bros night so he could get to know him and like vet him for Carrie to date. And then they ended up on the carpet kissing. That really made me laugh.
When he frightened him, and he went, oh, you actually quite scared me that. It was the way that guy delivered that line, I was proper chuckling.
Yes, I think he did an excellent job at playing that character.
Yeah, he was good.
And Carrie made me laugh so much with her reaction to that.
It was the next episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, the next episode where she was like, oh my God, I have to be okay with all of this, so I'll make the kitchen the gayest thing. There was glitter and rainbows and drag queens and all sorts going on. And the thing that made me laugh out loud, which you know means it's funny, when she had surprise invited Cash's friends over by accident, like not realizing they'd not told everyone.
Yeah.
But when she answered the phone for the doorbell and she went, yes.
Yeah, it was. I'd love to know how much improv goes into this, because I feel like a lot of it is improvised, or they're at least, the actors are at least given some creative control to just play around with it.
Because
it does seem quite like...
Some of it, you think, kind of, that wouldn't land if it was written.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, but I actually like the way it looks at sexuality as well, because it, like, it is quite a queer show. And
yeah.
There is, like, talk of different sexuality and sexual fluidity and all that kind of stuff. But I liked how that episode then played, because she was so panicked that she'd invited them round. And he hadn't told his friends. And then she goes out the room. And then when she comes back, he's like, yeah, I've told them. They're not bothered. Like,
nobody bats an eye.
Yeah. And I think the world that this inhabits is kind of one of those worlds where nobody does seem bothered about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, the issues that are important in this world are, like, actually important issues.
Yeah, it's more like finding your place in society.
Yeah.
Your superpower in that, because it might cause you some uncomfortable moments, depending on what power you've got, or...
I liked his little... It wasn't an internal monologue, because he said it out loud, but it was very much like a diarrhea of his inner thoughts, as he was working out what to do in the run-up to them kissing on the carpet. And he was like, do I want a tea? Do I take it white? Do I take it black? Do I want sugar? Oh, wait, tea exists on a spectrum. It doesn't have to be one or the other. I can have a little bit. Yeah, and that was him, like, self-preparing to have a little kiss and see what happened next.
It was like Gen Z anxiety and angst personified.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't like... Well, I know we weren't meant to, and I know I've said I don't particularly like Jen, but Nora was an absolute bitch.
She, yeah, I agree. And I think...
She felt a bit... Like... caricature of a villain rather than a villain just on its own. It felt really hammed up at times.
I felt like she was being a very realistic portrayal of the kind of character that she was playing.
I mean, I thought it was
because have you met some people like that where they're so in control of how they are perceived that they drive themselves mad like that? Like, and then when
I have met people when she started to crumble, I don't have many of them around me anymore.
Oh, I don't keep them around because they're insufferable.
Yeah.
But when she started to crumble and her superpower was telepathy, and she started telepathizing like the wrong bits of her sentence, it reminded me of, did you ever watch Miranda?
Yes.
When her mum used to say the wrong bit of the sentence loudly where she should be saying it quiet, like, oh, she looks like a bit of a hooker, that kind of thing. Yeah,
you know, I look back on Miranda, just a bit of a segue, it's not funny, it's but not I funny used to I really
used
really
to
laugh.
Absolutely howl.
There was a scene once where she fell off, she got off a chair a train, and she fell over her suitcases, and that to me was like the to teenage Declan was like
top
the funniest tier thing
comedy
that ever happened to me.
Yeah, but it's not funny actually.
It's not yeah,
but that was an odd segue.
She was good, but I was like, oh, I don't like her. I want her to do one. And even though, as I say, I've said I'm not really into Jen as a character, I was rooting for Jen. But actually, I was more rooting for Gizlord to find out the truth.
Like, I was really relieved that it turned out it wasn't the dad. Because I was like, oh, thank God this is only lasting this season. I could not cope with more.
You know, for ages I thought that boy's hair looks dyed.
Well, that was the point, wasn't
it? No, I know, but I thought we didn't get to the reason why for ages. I thought... There was a few episodes I thought, his hair looks wiggy, looks really weird.
I did think that was weird. Like, she was dyeing his hair so it wasn't ginger, because his real dad was ginger. But if you had not told me that his real dad was ginger, I wouldn't have looked at that man and thought, you're a ginger person.
Me neither.
Like, that could have been cast
and I didn't
way
think
better
that
to make that
coming.
Joke.
I just thought that she was now with him, rather than the fact that that was his son as well.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought that in the time that Gizlord had been...
It did
lost,
make it...
That she just got with his best friend.
It did make it make sense why Gizlord turned into a cat, couldn't turn back, and totally forgot, like, all of his life previous, though, because it was like, this is your trauma response to realising that your wife and your best friend are having an affair together.
It did make sense.
Then
it
he went...
The whole series does... And from a slow start, it does start to unfurl itself in every bit that it puts together... Because there was a bit where I didn't really understand and I totally forgot why Jen and her mum don't really get on. But I know it's because Jen can't really let go of her dad.
Yeah.
And obviously her mum's met someone new and she's like, we need to kind of move on from it. And then she invites the dad to a gathering through Carrie's power. And I was like, oh yeah. And then by the end couple of episodes, I thought it was quite emotional.
Yeah, that's something I felt... Like, it was, I didn't quite believe that Jen would think, I know, I'll get my mum to have a conversation with my dead dad, even though she's repeatedly told me she never wants to speak to him through Carrie because she needs to get over his loss. I know, while they're over for tea, let's bring him out. Like, I don't understand how Jen didn't see that going wrong before it happened. And then she was still, like, talking to a therapist, like, don't see why mum reacted to like this. Like, that's so obtuse, it's not believable.
I think it has a few points where it's not. I mean, there's a musical about Milton Keynes. Or a song about Milton Keynes.
Yeah, I know, but that was like a silly gag.
It's
like,
absurdism. Like,
that was plausible because somebody could put a musical about the Milton Keynes on. I didn't find it plausible that Jen didn't think, my mum's going to fucking hate this.
Jen's mum, though, Mary.
Ah,
Siobhan
McSweeney.
Absolutely.
Not just
so inspired funny casting, but her power to be able to control technology when she doesn't really understand technology is so...
She's like a boomer technophobe.
For, like, such laughs.
Yeah.
It is really, really well written and really funny.
Yeah.
And I just think she's great in it. And I know I can get a bit funny on typecast, and I do think she is typecast as the funny one in a lot. Oh, excuse me.
You are excused.
But when it comes to her, I don't care because she's always funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I found the last couple of episodes really emotional.
Oh,
where she
I
just
was
let go of her dad.
Crying when...
I mean, I didn't cry.
She, like, I did.
Did you?
Yeah. Tears fell from my eyes. Yeah, I found that really moving. And I think it'll do Jen good in season three. Like, I feel like maybe having that piece of character growth, I might not find her quite so... whatever I find her. I can't quite put a word on it because I don't want to be unfair because I don't dislike her. Just think small doses.
They end... The way something is tied up for some of the other characters, I thought was really well done. So Carrie and Cash kind of missing each other, but then rekindling, but realising they just missed each other's company rather than
they
being...
have that little kiss and they're both like,
oh,
that was weird.
Yeah,
it's like kissing my friend.
But I like that they've come together again as friends and like reconciled in that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought Jen saying bye to her dad finally and the therapist kind of working out that that might be what's holding her back from getting her power.
Yeah.
But we didn't really get an answer to whether she's got it because she ends up falling into the void.
No, I don't think she's got it yet. I don't think it's one of those things that will arrive just instantly with Jen.
Well, I get a feeling that that therapist, which when she kissed, I thought was hilarious.
That was so funny.
I thought that was funny. Like, oh God, girl, you make some mistakes in life and you've just done an even like funnier one.
I really loved about how the therapist was like, right, we have to go like into your mind. And then when we got there, the manifestation of Jen's mind was the messiest rooms full of books, completely disorganized, total chaos. And it's like, well, if you could paint somebody's personality, this is Jen's. And
what
then,
do you think your brain would be like?
Oh, probably not dissimilar to that, to be honest.
What do you think mine would be like?
I don't know. What would yours be like?
I think quite organized, but in an overwhelming way.
Just a lot of it. A
lot of it. And you've got so many fads and stuff.
Mm.
Uncompleted things.
Incomplete. Yeah, but when the episode where they started sorting things out and then there was like a little twinkle in both of their eyes and then the book that appeared on the floor was a pink fluffy one that said inappropriate crushes. And I was like, that is funny, actually. That's really funny. And then when they got caught snogging, on CCTV, and Jen was like, but it was in my mind. And then it showed the CCTV footage of them two sitting in separate chairs.
Snogging.
That was so funny. Really, really, I think creative physical comedy there.
Yeah, it was quite good.
Yeah.
There was another creative physical comedy in that episode where Carrie's talking to that guy and he's like, I don't want to be judged on my looks.
Oh, and he's invisible.
Like, he's invisible. He's like, people just care about what, and everyone's like treating him as if that means he's dead ugly. But turns out he's probably one of the most handsome boys I think I've ever seen.
Wow.
He was really handsome.
He was fairly good looking.
No, he was like that, like Prince Charming-y kind of handsome look.
Yeah.
Modern Prince Charming, Boy Next Door kind of vibes. Oh. I thought that was quite funny comedy. And when that other girl was getting with his silhouette at the end.
And you could see her like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It reminded me of that... which music video? Madonna and...
Oh, this is a segue.
Is it Madonna and Justin Timberlake? 4 minutes.
4 minutes, yeah.
There's a music video and it like shows two people, but you've got the cross section.
Oh,
of
yes,
them.
It does.
Yeah. You can see all their tongues like.
Well, she still does.
A big old weirdo.
Yeah, she is a weirdo.
Love it.
With a cat face these days.
Wow.
Not to be catty. I'm pretty much at the end of my notes. I did think the musical was funny.
Yeah, and I liked that it was used to allow Cash to kind of stop being such a control freak.
I like Cash's, like...
I think he's got an interesting power.
But I also quite like his outlook on life. He's, like, a bit shit at everything, but he gives it a good go. And I think that's quite a nice...
Oh, he's not got much ambition, though. And I always feel
I think he does have quite a lot of ambition.
Do you? I just think he's full of ideas and he never knows what to do with any of them.
But he believes in himself, which I think is quite a nice trait. I thought it's quite cute. He actually rocked up in... The actor actually rocked up in Three Body Problem last night in one episode. I was going... Where do I know him? You know, when you do that.
I think
that
he's dead good looking, mate.
I thought you might fancy him.
I think to add to that, though, I quite like how they all sort of dress. Like, I feel like the costume in Extraordinary makes them all a little bit better looking in my eyes.
Yeah, I think I get what you mean.
Like, I like the visuals.
But most of them are quite likeable, like, when I always talk about some with, but, like, Carrie, I've met girls like her.
Oh, I love Carrie.
Do you know what I mean?
I've got some very good friends that have Carrie traits.
And I feel like I've met some of your friends that do,
Yeah, I do quite resonate, I think, with Carrie.
You would be friends with her.
I would definitely be Carrie's friend.
Yeah, for sure. Have you got any more notes?
I was just going to ask you what... power you would want to have in this universe?
That's a really hard question. Because, you know, like when people ask you what superpower would you want, and they mean like something that you would get from the heroes.
Like my superpower, I would want to be able to fly.
So would I.
Far better than anything anybody else has ever suggested. Like, I don't want to teleport. I don't want to read minds. No, I don't want to go invisible, but I want to fly. And I also think if I could fly, I wouldn't be such a nervous flyer, like on aeroplanes.
Well, you wouldn't need to go on an aeroplane, just fly.
Well, for long distances. I'm not flying myself across the Atlantic.
Superman used to be able to do it fast. A really good little naff power would be the ability to conjure up any meal or snack that you fancied.
I wouldn't like that one.
That's just what's come to me. Head looking
the snack
that
one.
On
the
side.
Snack one. I could
you know, like
on board
the nights
with.
Where you go, oh, I could do with going to the shop. Mm. I really want a snack, and you can't be asked. Mm. So you could just like think of a bag of mini eggs, and they appear.
Or if you could just like pour a perfect cup of tea from your fingertips.
Actually, when I'm hungover, sound like my mum. That when I'm hungover, and I always have this penchant for a really hot, sugary, slightly milky tea.
Yeah.
I always think, I wish there was a tap in the kitchen where you could just go turn it on and that exact drink came out. Yeah. Would that be yours?
Do you know what power I did like from a non-main character? Where, you know, when Carrie was like, I need a change, I'm going to give myself a fringe, what a good idea. And it was not a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
And there was that big line at the barbershop for that person who could grow your hair.
Yeah.
Into this. That was a funny.
So what would yours be?
I don't know. I've been thinking, like, it'd be cool to be able to grow or shrink my hair in any style, depending on what look I wanted. It'd be cool to be able to pour the perfect cup of tea out of my fingertips. I don't know. I don't think I'd want anything, like, particularly extravagant.
Well, they don't have... particularly extravagant ones, do they, in this room?
No, I think communing with the dead is quite like a...
Oh, yeah, that is quite a strong one.
That's quite an unusual one.
But it's weird that they have to inhabit her.
Yeah. I like it when she's having conversations with dead people and it's like two shots where they're looking in different directions.
Yeah, there's a bit Gollum on it.
Yeah, it's quite funny. I think I'd be going for like perfect cup of tea every time type vibes.
Okay. Are you done then?
I think so, yeah.
So, I know it's quite hard to give TV shows a star rating.
I'd go for a four.
I'd go four, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Well, now let's unsheathe the gaydar. It's a wonderful piece of machinery devised by Ned's own hand, and we use it to rank all the films and TV we discuss based on their LGBTQ plus appeal. Let's see where the gaydar ranks. Extraordinary season 2.
Couldn't find it then. Why are you looking at me like that for?
I'm waiting for the gaydar to spit its...
spit out its magic.
Yeah.
We are... above Poor Things, below Saltburn. Ish.
Above Poor Things, below Saltburn. Yeah, it's probably in that mix. It's no Heartstopper or...
No, and I have been reflecting on your comment a few weeks ago about how Heartstopper and Sex Education seem to be taking up undue space at the top.
Yeah, but they are overtly...
I know.
...TV shows that are for queer characters.
I know.
And I think the fact that two TV shows are at the top is no coincidence either, because TV shows spend more time, so they get to focus on more characters, and that then gives them the opportunity to have a wider breadth of the LGBTQ plus. Like, if a film had everything in it, like... that would be straight to the top for me.
But yeah.
Yeah. I would probably agree.
Okay. Fair enough then.
But no, it's a good show. It's a good show for the gays. It's funny. They're only half an hour-ish episodes. It's pretty... it's not really much on the brain. Just sit back
and it's very easy watching. Nice and silly. Inoffensive. Fun for all the family.
And that's all for this time. If you've enjoyed this episode of Gays on Film, please subscribe, rate and comment on your podcasting platform of choice. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, we're at Gays on Film Pod, and check out our Letterboxd accounts, links of which are in the show notes. We'd love to hear your thoughts, so please do feel free.
So please.
So do feel free to drop us a message. I've been Declan.
And I've been Ned.
And this has been Gays on Film. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.